Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We want to remember that God wants to develop our character. He wants us to become spiritual men and women filled with the Spirit and wisdom. So let's seek to grow and mature in our faith to get to know the Lord.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, in a message titled, Serving in Your Calling. Now here's Pastor Brian.
And in the following chapter, Philip is going to be the evangelist who goes into Samaria with the gospel. So we see that although they were men who their primary task in the church was to take care of the practical needs, they were spiritual men who were gifted with the ministry of the gospel as well. But the brilliance in the decision that was made here is that every one of these men were either Hellenistic Jews themselves, or obviously in their family, there was a sympathy toward Hellenistic culture because every one of them have Greek names. So they're all believers. One of them is a proselyte, which means a convert. One of them is actually a Gentile who became a Jew and now is a believer in Jesus the Messiah. So what we have here now is the solution to the problem. So the solution is, let's find the right people for the right job. Let's help people get in their lane so they can run effectively and they can do the thing that God called them to do so that others can do the thing that God called them to do. And so the result from this is, number one, the ministry to the widows was now covered. So everybody was happy. The chapter starts off on a kind of a sour note. There's this tension. There's this conflict. There's this grumbling that's going on. But now everybody's happy. The ministry to the widows is covered. Secondly, the apostles can now focus on their calling of prayer and the ministry of the word. So they can get back to the task that God has appointed to them. And then as we go on to the final verses there, verse 7, notice it says, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples greatly multiplied in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So going back to what I said initially, even though on the surface we might not see it, this is an attempt by the enemy to stop the progress of the church. And based on verse 7, it seems like things were temporarily halted. But now, because they've come up with the right solution. And you know, in the scriptures, we have references to various gifts of the Spirit. And maybe you've read those list of the gifts in maybe Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12. If you've read the list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, there's the gift that's called the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is a gift that God gives that brings the best possible solution to a problem. And it seems like here you have an exercising of the word of wisdom, because this was like the perfect answer. This was the solution to the problem. And we see that everything was resolved, peace was restored, and the advance of the gospel continued. The gospel advanced, men and women were saved, and the church grew. So what are some of the lessons that we can take away from this? Well, first of all, I want to look at the lesson to those who are called to the ministry of prayer and the word, or that spiritual oversight, as we talked about, the elders, the pastors. And John Stott, one of my favorite commentators, he said this. He said, a vital principle is illustrated in this incident, which is of urgent importance to the church today. It is that God calls all his people to ministry, that he calls different people to different ministries, and that those called to prayer and the ministry of the word must on no account allow themselves to be distracted from their priorities. So the apostles, they got it right. They said, no, this, we can't get distracted by this. Again, as I said earlier, not because it wasn't important, but because it wasn't their calling. So let's find the people that God has called to do this. So they got it right. They understood it. And this is a pertinent word to all who are pastoring churches today, especially as the senior or the lead or the teaching pastor of the church, whatever, there's different ways people like to define that today. But here's what we have to remember. Here's what I have to remember. That it is not our job to keep the church informed on the latest social and political activity in the culture, nor is it our primary calling to engage in social work or activism. Now, I'm saying this for a very specific reason. There is a huge amount of pressure being put on pastors today to do this kind of stuff. And there's always something in every season of the church's life. And, you know, from generation to generation, there's always something that's happening out there in the culture that is tempting pastors to be distracted. There's always something. And right now, there's a lot of temptation and a lot of pressure to just kind of jump into the thick of all of the stuff that's happening in the culture. And pastors being tempted, and I think falling to the temptation, getting sucked into social activism and things like that. Now again, that there's a place for that. But that's where you have to understand that you need to serve in your lane. You need to stay in your lane. For the pastor, we see what the pastor's lane is. Our call is to give ourselves entirely to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, there are a million causes out in the world today that are legitimate. They're good. And I know pastors who are so spread between trying to engage in all of these different causes that they've left off their main calling. And that's the problem. That's wrong. And that's where we have to guard ourselves. That's where I have to guard myself. My primary calling, those who are in that position, as I'm saying, our primary calling is laid out right here very clearly, prayer and the ministry of the word, which includes preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, and counseling people personally from the scriptures. Pastors, this is our lane, and we need to stay in our lane. Because what we're doing, as Paul reminded the Ephesians, those that serve in that capacity, they do so to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So our options are, you know, I can forsake my primary role and go out, spread myself real thin, try to do all of this stuff, or I can focus on my primary role, equip all of you to do the thing that God has called you to do, and guess what's gonna happen? A lot more stuff's gonna get done. So that's one of the huge lessons that I think we take away from this here. This passage has always, I think throughout my whole ministry life, has been one of those things that just, it recalibrates you. It just sets you back. And you know, as you read it over and over again, as I've read it over the years, it's like, oh yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's just that reminder. And it's reminded me of that once again. Now, secondly, so I mentioned social work, because in a sense, that's what these men that were appointed there, that's what they were doing. They were, as we've pointed out, they were taking care of the practical needs of God's people. It's referred to here as serving tables. They were distributing the material goods. They were giving assistance practically where that was needed. And that is an absolutely valid ministry. There's obviously much social work that goes on outside the church, but there's things that happen inside the church as well that would be in a similar kind of a category. And Christians are engaged in both. To quote Stott once again, he said, both pastoral work and social work are Christian ministries. That is ways of serving God and his people. Both require spiritual people full of the Spirit, as we read here. Both require spiritual people to exercise them. So as we get equipped, as we mature, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, as we are filled with the Spirit and wisdom, God is going to take that and he is going to direct you to these different ministry opportunities that he brings along. Number one, to assist and help and bless the body of Christ. But then number two, to reach out to the community. And in doing so, it's through the very efforts themselves that oftentimes the gospel is advancing, because even though we might not be out there having an opportunity every time we're out there to actually give an evangelistic message, people know that we're doing this as believers, as Christians. They know that underneath it all, it's the love of Christ that is constraining us, and that starts to pave the way. Now, we live in a highly suspicious culture when it comes to Christianity today, right, and the motives of Christians, and there's all kinds of negative press for the church today, right? But you know what we see over and over again? As God's people who are filled with the Spirit and wisdom, as they go out into the realm of social activity, and as they serve out there, it's impactful. And it oftentimes causes people who are otherwise skeptical about the church, it causes them to rethink everything, because they have a stereotyped view of you and me. They think a certain way about us. And they think that, you know, we don't care about that kind of stuff. We're just interested in our own little thing. You know, they all different kinds of things they think. But when you show up as a believer in Jesus to give relief and to help out at a distribution center, or you go out into the community and you give your time to minister to the poor, or you go out to the children who maybe are from single parent families or something like that, and you go engage with them and you help them, or you know, just the myriad of things that we can be involved in, this is impactful. And so my point is, as Stott made here, we have to see that this is valid ministry as well. And God calls people to these kinds of things. And there's the context of the church. There's the context of the world. The question is, what has God called you to? And that's the thing that we want to make sure that either we know or we're in the process of discovering. What is God's call? because I am firmly convinced that all believers have some gift from God and some area of service to do for him. Everyone who is a believer has that. But there's also the need for character development or spiritual maturity. And I want to go back to what the apostles said in their instruction. Remember, they said, find men who are qualified. This is the qualification, good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom. So in other words, they didn't say, hey, just give this job to somebody else because we can't do it. Doesn't matter who, just, you know, find somebody that'll come out here and pass out the bread. That wasn't what they said. No, find people who are spiritual. Find people who are mature. Find people who are gifted by the Lord for this and put them in it. And you see, that's the thing. I mean, I'm all for, you know, calling people to use their gifts. I'm all for reminding all of us that we all have been gifted by the Lord. But I also want to take into consideration that there's a certain qualification for that. And so where we start is with what we might call character development. And that character development is really just growing into maturity in our faith in Jesus. And so as we grow in him, as we're seeking him, as we're living in obedience to him, as we're being transformed through the influence of his word in our lives, and as our character is becoming that where there's a good reputation, and there's a sense that the Spirit is upon this person, then those are the people that then we look to see, okay, what does God have for you by way of service? So often the problems that arise in churches, quite frankly, especially in the more internal aspects of the church, are due to the fact that there's not spiritual maturity in people's lives, and they are put in positions simply because we need somebody there and this person's available, so let's just stick them in there. I've made that mistake. And so a big lesson here is that we don't want to do that. We want to remember that God wants to develop our character. He wants us to become spiritual men and women filled with the Spirit and wisdom. So let's seek to grow and mature in our faith to get to know the Lord. And the better you get to know the Lord, he's going to define my lane for me. And then as I get in that lane and as I serve there, that's where I'm going to be effective. That's where I'm going to be a blessing. And as we all serve the Lord in our lane, the gospel will go forth. The gospel will go forth. Men and women will come to the Lord. The church will advance as God intends, and the devil's efforts will be thwarted. So this is a way to just thwart the effort of the enemy. Let's not get distracted, but let's focus on the thing that God has called us to do. And let me just say this as we close. Again, I'm going to just emphasize more generally at distractions, right? Because not just distractions from our specific calling, but you know, we are surrounded by distractions. And the biggest distraction is that one that is going to prevent you from growing closer to Christ like he wants you to. And whatever that is, or whatever those things are, let's just make a commitment to set that stuff aside. Because that's one way the enemy slows down the progress of the church, is by getting God's people distracted with every other thing. It's a strategy that he's employed from the very beginning. Remember, Jesus told the parable of the soil, the seeds fell upon the soil. You remember that third seed, perhaps, where there was the seed that sprang up, but it never really brought forth fruit. Why? Because it was choked out. It fell among the thorns, and it got choked out. And Jesus said in response to the question, what does that mean? Jesus said, this is the person who hears the word of God, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, they choke out the seed, and it never really brings forth the fruit that God intended. God help us to not have that happen. But those are the distractions. Those are those things, the cares of this life. Cares of this life aren't bad things. They're just the cares of this life. I'm just overly concerned about the things of this life to the neglect of my spiritual life. The deceitfulness of riches, thinking I need more money. And I don't have time to give myself to spiritual things because I've got to make more money. That's a trap that'll choke out. And then just that more general category of the desire for other things. Just other things rather than the things of the Spirit. So let's focus on the things of the Spirit. And as we do that, we will avoid the distractions of the enemy and we will be fruitful. And we will see the kingdom advance in our lives and in and through our fellowship and out beyond into our community.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Answers to Prayer. Be inspired by the joy of answered prayer from the narratives of George Mueller. Read about God's work of conversion, revival, and provision, and how the same God can answer your prayers today. The book Answers to Prayer by George Mueller is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. But before we conclude today's program, here's Pastor Brian with a personal invitation to Israel.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian, and I want to talk to you about our trip to Israel that's coming up in May of 2019. That'll be May the 5th through the 18th. It's a 14-day trip, and, you know, you just can't beat going to Israel. As a matter of fact, I just returned from Israel, so I'm pretty excited about the trip that's coming up, and we would love to have you join us. On the trip, we start off, we go into the city of Tel Aviv, and we just relax for a day and get our bearings about us, and then we launch out into the tour. Our first stop is the city of Joppa, where Jonah left from, and where Peter was there and got the message to come to Caesarea so he could go to the house of Cornelius. And that's where we start, and then we head to the Sea of Galilee. And we're there for a number of days visiting all the sites around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus ministered and many of the other events that happened in that region, Old Testament stories. And then we head to the area of the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, beautiful desert place. And we spend a couple of nights there. It's relaxing. It's wonderful. A couple of nice biblical sites in the area. And then we wrap everything up. The final part of our tour is Jerusalem itself. And we walk the city of Jerusalem, we go to all the pertinent sites, and the whole tour, everything wraps up with communion at the Garden Tomb. And so I'm excited about the trip that's coming up, and We would love to have you be part of this trip. Many, many people have gone with us, and many are already signed up, but we do have some more spaces, and so we'd love to have you join us. And you can find out all the information about the trip at israel.cccm.com. So pray about it, and love to have you join us for Israel 2019, May the 5th through the 18th, israel.cccm.com. God bless you.
We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.